Claire. It appears to be another episode of Magic the Amateurin'.
Well, it sure is.
That's right. We're coming to you from a storm-beaten but sunny front porch.
Front porch.
Where we're just sipping on iced rum and cokes and
yes,
enjoying the view.
That's right. It just rained, so we have the fresh smell of rain mingling with the old smell of cigarettes up here on this front porch.
That's right. And you know what? There's really no better smell than rain, cigarettes, and rum.
That's right.
That sure is right.
I'm one of your Magic the Amateuring hosts, Miss Kentucky Glam.
And I'm your other Magic the Amateuring host, Mr. Boots. And we're here to teach y'all something about Magic the Gathering. Now, you might listen to us if you've never played the game and you're just picking it up, or you've been playing for a while and, you know, you're wanting something to listen to.
That's right.
Or maybe you used to play, you quit for a while because you needed to go tend cattle. Or sheep out in the mountains, and there just wasn't anybody to play with or a real good internet connection.
That's
but
right.
Now you're back to the game.
Perhaps your daddy done drunk himself to death in a bar, and you had to raise 5 chicklets on your own. Chicklets meaning your brothers and sisters. You aren't 8 but 13-year-old.
That's right. That sure is a crying shame if that happened to you, and we're real sorry to hear it. But we do hope that you take comfort in this podcast.
Southern comfort. Get it?
Alcohol.
Hashtag alcohol. Megan, I can't keep this up much longer.
Why not?
I don't know.
It's like, even for us, it's too weird. Yeah. Like, let it be known that we're okay with having Mark Ruffalo and Jane Pauley do
host
an entire episode. That's not too weird for us.
No.
But we draw the line at doing impersonations of Southern gentlemen.
Well, I was a Southern beauty pageant winner.
Oh, sorry.
Miss Kentucky Glam.
Oh, you're right. Miss Kentucky Glam.
But Mr. Boots.
Mr. Boots is just a traditional Southern man.
He seemed like a gentleman.
Yeah, he was. You know, he always, held doors for other people and pulled out ladies' chairs.
Did he do the thing where he took his hanky and wiped the chair free of dust before the lady sat down?
Yes.
That's the extra mile.
Yeah, it really is. And he also, you know, that hanky was embroidered with his mother's initials.
Oh, thank God.
Which were MTG. For Martha the Gathering.
Martha the Gathering?
Her middle name was Martha. Her middle name was Thaw, and her last name was Gathering.
Just like Kermit T. Frog.
Exactly.
Everybody, on today's show, we're going to talk about some very important topics. So get your listening hat on, your listening underwear on, and pull up your pants.
It could be any type of pants.
Yeah, I don't care.
It could be any type of pants. It doesn't matter.
We're going to talk about the Magic Pro Player system and Planeswalker points.
Ooh, that's right. Because if you try to learn about Planeswalker points from the Planeswalker points website,
it won't happen.
You never will.
Nope, you'll just sit there. You'll fall
you'll
into the abyss.
You'll sit there wondering what's going to happen.
Do you know I'm still waiting for an issue to be resolved with my Planeswalker account?
What does that even mean?
Yep. Well, we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
So we're here to help you, everybody.
That's right.
We're also going to have a Magic the Amateuring History Minute, as well as talk about a little bit about GP Toronto, which was standard this past weekend.
Yeah.
We've got a Dear Abby for you as well. So a show chock full of peanuts with a shell of a delicious milk chocolate surrounding it.
I'm like iffy on milk chocolate.
What's wrong with you?
I just like dark chocolate. I'm sorry.
Do you like that, like, 85-92%?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Why?
Because it's really good.
Because you like your chocolate to taste old and rotten and bitter?
You like your chocolate to taste like sugar milk?
Yes.
Gross.
Hey, everybody. I just want to point out that we do have a Patreon for this show. So you can go to patreon.com/mtacast to support us for as little as $1 an episode. You can support the podcast if you get any enjoyment out of this in any sort of way. We would love to have you on as a supporter. And if you join at that level, you get a Magic the Amateuring sticker, which is pretty dope.
They're real sweet.
At $2, you get another special bonus, and it keeps going on up upwards of $10, which is the ultimate prize. Much like in Highlander, when you have killed everybody else, you get the ultimate prize at the end. It is, I would say, equivalent to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, there you go. We're going to have our first segment coming at you in 3, 2, you're live. Hey, Megan, did you know that being a professional magic player isn't all beans and rums and cokes?
Beans and rums and cokes?
That's no, a perfect I didn't life. Know that. A perfect life. No, it's not a perfect life. It's a hard life.
Oh, it is a hard life. I mean, you've got to do a lot of work to be a pro player.
It's a hard knock life.
For them. It's a hard knock life.
For them. Instead of jobs, they play games.
Instead of lives, they have fame.
It's a hard knock life. That's right. But we wanted to talk a little bit about the pro player point club system. Mm-hmm. So many P's. Never say there was too many P's. But so many P's in that sentence.
Yeah.
Because it's a little confusing. They talk about it a lot on coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So if you happen to watch twitch.tv when there are events this weekend, like we mentioned, GP Toronto was this past mm-hmm. weekend. If you happen to watch the Pro Tour, they talk about pro points a lot on these things.
Mm-hmm.
So what the heck does that mean? You know, like,
who knows?
If somebody's like, oh, this person has a chance to go gold, this person has a chance to go platinum. You know, for a long time, I was like, just right over my head and not know what they were talking about.
Yeah.
But recently, our good friend Craig Wesco made platinum mm-hmm. at GP Toronto. He was in the top 8.
Mm-hmm.
So congrats to him. What does that mean? Well, just for a little perspective, for each one of these levels, you need to achieve a certain number of pro points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you place first at a Grand Prix, you get 8 pro points.
Yeah.
All right. If it's a team Grand Prix, that's 6 pro points for first place. Mm-hmm. You know, to put that all in grander view, if you win the Pro Tour, how many pro points do you think that is, Megan?
1,000,000.
30.
Wow.
30 for winning the Pro Tour. And,
that's a lot.
Yeah, 8 for winning the World Magic Cup.
Nice.
So, I mean, Pro Tour, you automatically get 3 points for going to that. But
sweet.
First is 30.
Yeah, and the reason why that's relevant is because for each year or each season. It's how many pro points you accumulate in a season will determine your status in mm-hmm. the pro player club for the remainder of the current season and the following season, I believe.
Oh, I think it may be.
I believe that it is. So it's like if you hit platinum, then you're platinum for the rest of the season and then the upcoming season. So someone who just hit platinum will be platinum through the end of May. Yeah. And then the following season
Correct.
As well.
So you need at least 20 pro points to enter into the Pro Players Club.
Ooh.
20.
20. So, and that gets you in at silver.
Yes.
And with silver, you get an invite to a pro tour. I believe the first one for which you are not otherwise qualified. So
yep.
if you, for instance, you are a silver pro, but you won an RPTQ, you get to go to the pro tour that you won an RPTQ for. And then the next one, if you didn't qualify for it by either top 25ing that pro tour or winning another RPTQ or qualifying via Grand Prix, then you would get an invite via your silver pro player club membership to the next pro tour.
And you'll see this too if you check out the pro tour and it says how players qualified for the pro tour.
Yeah.
It'll say sometimes just say silver.
You can see a list.
Yeah. And then you'll know why. Exactly. You also get 2 buys at all Grand Prix if you're silver, by the way.
Sweet.
Which is a really sweet deal. If you've ever been to a Grand Prix.
A Grand Prix?
Oh my God, there's too many P's.
Oh,
P's are notoriously the worst letter to say on the radio, first of all.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Why?
Because it's called a plosive. And if you blow on the P too hard into the microphone, you get a like sound like that, which is horrible.
So what you're saying is don't blow on a P too hard.
That's exactly what I'm saying, Megan.
I just wanted to reiterate what the words that you said.
Well, you know, broken penises do happen. It's an actual thing that can
yes,
happen to you.
I'm well aware.
Oh, have you seen the documentaries?
No.
I stumbled across one night, which was like,
you stumbled across a documentary on broken penises.
I should call it a documentary. I should call it like a TV show. Reality TV show.
Either way, a reality television show.
Yes. It was like, I don't know, one of those like weird, you know, weird sex. My penis got broken or whatever.
Whoa.
And it was just like the most horrifying thing I have ever heard.
I am sure.
I mean, you can come back from that, but it's pretty tough.
So, at Grand Prix, you have two buys when you're silver.
What I was saying is at Grand Prix, buys mean a lot,
it's
right?
It's pretty sweet. You're playing nine rounds that first day, and you have to go 7-2 or better to make day two. So imagine, like, only having to win 5 rounds.
That's
and only
way
having to
easier.
Play 7 rounds total. It's so much better than having to play 9 rounds and win 7 of them.
Yeah. So, you know, they also get an invite to an RPTQ.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. During
that
their season.
Must be new.
Yeah. So when you say you've locked silver down, which
that's pretty sweet. I mean, you've already
tricky.
Got some benefits going for you.
If you want to hit gold, you've got to get 35 pro points.
Holy smokes.
35. That's 15 more, Megan, if you're doing the math.
I do declare, Maria, I was doing the math, even though I didn't have that grade of teaching when I was in my school back down in the South.
Oh, did you have a one-room schoolhouse?
I did go to school in a one-room schoolhouse. It was the little kids all the way up to the men's about to go work on their parents' farms.
Oh, my schooling was when I said a naughty word, my daddy gave me the back of his hand.
That's I'm sorry. That's appalling. That's child abuse.
That's technically true.
Yeah.
Gold level. You don't get just two buys, Megan.
You get three buys?
Three.
Holy
three
smokes.
Buys
you get
at all
three
GPs.
Three buys at all the GPs.
That's insanity.
That's sweet.
You know, that's why I think staying on the gravy train, as I'll call it, a lot of players refer to this as staying on the train, is so important. And once you're on, it helps you stay on.
It really does, which is nice.
Yes, it is nice that Wizards does
Considering that a lot of pro players, like, devote a lot of their lives to this.
I mean, some pro players do have other jobs, but some really don't.
Some really don't.
They just play Magic all the time, test all the time, make extra money on the side. Because winning, I mean, these pots are not enormous at these events by any means. And, I mean, you're not going to win all of them, obviously. So.
Yeah. They're more they're like large stovetop pots. They're not like cauldron pots.
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say so. So they'll write articles or do coaching or something like that. But it's a tough life, man.
Yeah, it's
you've really
sure
got to love it.
So when you lock up gold, you also get an invite to all the pro tours.
Yes.
In the season, which is also pretty sweet.
By the way, they'll also pay your airplane ticket.
Oh.
For the current season.
Man.
Yeah.
Be good.
That's right. And they also get invited to their country's World Magic Cup qualifiers, and they get one by each at each World Magic Cup qualifier in their country.
That is very cool. World Magic Cup qualifiers, what you play to be on your country's World Magic Cup team.
Which I think a lot of people like. That is very
It's a very prestigious thing. It's really, you know, it means a lot.
All right. Platinum level.
Platinum. Oh, shit.
What do you think you need, Megan?
1 billion points. 2 billion?
You're cold.
8 billion.
It's 46.
46?
46 pro points to
lock
platinum.
Oh, snap. So, it goes 20, 35, 46.
Yeah, that's my measurements, Elsa. What would I look like? A weird cone.
You would be a weird triangle.
Like, the tiniest, skinniest little boobs, and then just, like, whoa,
bigger.
bigger.
You would look like basically the woman that they put on doors.
Like, the woman that you see at the restroom.
At the bathroom door.
At the bathroom
woman. You
would
basically be her, but not wearing a dress.
No, that's me naked.
That's just, like, what
you look like. Horrifying. Horrifying. Good news is, when you lock platinum, you also get 3 buys to all GPs. You get invited to the World Magic Cup qualifiers, 2 buys at that, invited to all pro tours, so all the rest of this.
And they also give you some cash just for showing your face.
Yeah, this is
an appearance fee.
An appearance fee. $3,000 for showing up at a pro tour.
Holy shit.
That's awesome.
You get paid just to be there.
You also not only get your airfare paid, but also your hotel paid for the current season. What?
Very cool.
And even this is what I love too. If you show up at a Grand Prix, they also pay you $250. Yeah.
Just, I mean, like, hey, here you why go. Not?
$500 for showing up at the World Magic Cup qualifier. $1,000 if you're competing in the World Magic Cup. Wow.
Pretty sweet deal. And so you can kind of you can get a sense of why it's so important to pros to lock up these different pro player levels.
Yes.
But Maria, what about the common man?
Sure, the
what
common
about
man.
The you and I's.
Good, great question, because you and I are never going to get maybe even one pro point.
We'll accumulate one somewhere. We'll find it. We'll find it on the side ground. Of the road. It's going to be trying to hitchhike.
And we'll we can dream.
You can hop in the car and we'll kidnap
it. I actually want to know how we could get one pro point.
How you can get one? I mean, they give them
you
out
for day two?
No, but if you place like high enough after a day two.
Okay.
So, you can, if I'm you want to pull up it. Like the Grand Prix, how far the pro points go.
Yeah.
And it also depends on size. Like, sure. The size of the Grand Prix also kind of determines the number of
all right, pro it's through 64th out. Place.
So there you go. You,
yeah.
Let's get it together, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that could happen in a dream world. In a fantasy dream world. Okay, so the common man, we're not really interested in pro points, but we are interested in a different kind of point.
What kind of point? Basketball points.
The point of a knife.
Okay.
Megan, you gotta protect yourself.
You're right.
This is the South. Conceal and carry. Stand your ground.
So we're gonna have to go ahead and we're gonna take this segment to go ahead and teach you about proper knife sharpening.
Oh, yes.
Skills, because those are really important. You don't want to be
caught with a
dull
knife.
You don't want to show up to a knife fight with a dull knife.
No.
Don't show up to a knife fight dull. This is a bad
great,
idea.
Great advice also in metaphor.
Yeah.
You know, for brains.
Yeah. Don't ever show up to a knife fight dull.
I mean, think about West Side Story, you know?
Yeah.
Bernardo showed up. His knife was not as sharp.
As that gun?
Yeah, I mean, a gun is going to cut through you better than a knife.
I mean, although
so
arguably,
which is sharper?
Arguably, a knife is not very... I mean, a gun is not sharp.
But think about the end result.
It's, yeah.
It cuts further than a knife.
It makes up... what it lacks in sharpness, it makes up for an impact. This is weird. I'm uncomfortable talking about this, I think.
I think you were also wrong, because I think he gets stabbed in the knife fight, and then... they come out with a gun and shoot.
And then they shoot the other dude.
Yeah. Anyway, West Side Story.
I'm not, you know, up and up on my West Side Story. I'm a WWS.
What we're trying to allude to is Planeswalker Points, another series of double Ps. By the way, the other day on Reddit.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it wasn't the other day. Maybe I just searched it the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Guy with two penises did an AMA.
That happened a long time ago.
Okay. Well, I just read about it the other day.
Oh. Well, congrats.
Also terrifying.
Yes, I agree. But so, you know what?
What?
He is who he is.
I mean, yeah, he owns it, literally.
Yeah. Does a man really own his junk?
Do you own any part? Like, do you own your arm?
I mean, I don't know who else does.
The government?
God, I hope not.
Planeswalker points,
yep.
Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
So, what's the deal with these, Magoons?
So, you get Planeswalker points for any sanctioned magic event that you participate in.
Even my F&M at my local game store?
That's right. As long as your game store has a sanctioned F&M. Which just means that they are abiding by Wizards' terms and conditions for holding an event, right? They're doing everything like they have... you know, they're doing everything by the Wizards book.
Yep.
That they need to be doing to make sure that their event is approved by Wizards.
They're not handing out prizes, you know, of... I don't know what would be illegal.
Drugs?
They're not allowing collusion.
Yeah, they're not handing out drugs, I think,
okay,
is like the
that's
number
great.
One, right? And so Yeah, so everything like from an FNM or a draft night at your local store up to a Grand Prix also awards Planeswalker points. And what's nice is that bigger events have what's called a multiplier.
Multiplier.
So for every round that you win in an event, like if at an FNM you win your first round, right? You might see when they post the standings after that, or they post your next pairing, that your name has a 3 next to it, mm-hmm. or in the points column it has a 3. That's because during an event you get 3 points for a win,
yes,
1 point for a draw,
okay.
and 0 points for a loss. And so those points are like then just directly translate into Planeswalker points. So if you win 3 rounds in an FNM, you're going to get 12 points. 9. Shit, I was thinking 4-0. Anyways, so if you go 4-0, you'll get 12. If you go 3-0, you'll get 9.
Sweet.
Yeah, which is pretty sweet. And then those then transfer onto your Planeswalker points. And you might be like, hey, a Grand Prix, it's a bigger deal to win a round of a Grand Prix than to win a round of an FNM.
People are messing around at a Grand Prix.
So they take that into account, and they have a multiplier for a Grand Prix, which means like each round, like however many points you get, it's multiplied by something.
Sure.
Or it might just be a number that you get for showing up. No, I'm pretty sure it's a multiplier.
So you can also get these at pre-TQs as well.
Exactly, which also have a smaller multiplier than a Grand Prix, but a multiplier nonetheless.
That's right, and Grand Prix's multipliers are quite insane.
Yes, that's true.
If Planeswalker points are something you care about, going to Grand Prix's will significantly increase your Planeswalker points, especially if you do well, obviously.
Yeah.
But why is this important?
Well, it's because, you know, if you're like us, the common man, and you might not have any pro points, much less 20 in your future, you can get Grand Prix buys with your Planeswalker points.
What? Say what?
That's right. What?
Nope.
Okay. That's right. So you can, if you have a certain number of Planeswalker points, you can get a round one buy or a 2-round buy. I believe it's 1,400 points for a 1st-round buy. And something like 2,200 or 2,300 for a 2-round buy.
So obviously significantly more than pro points.
Yes.
But at the same time,
much easier
to get.
Exactly. It's exactly like the difference between smoking pot and cocaine.
Uh-huh.
It's much harder to come by cocaine, but you need less of it to get super fucked up.
That's right. When I smoke a blunt, I need one the size of a horse to do anything to me.
Because Maria is such a toughened pot smoker.
Yep, that's exactly how everyone would describe me.
100%. 100%.
So, Megan, you think you're going to acquire enough Planeswalker points to get a buy for Vegas?
I am, in fact, 9 points away.
Oh my God!
From a 1st-round buy at Vegas.
I'm pretty sure you can lock that down.
And I have several draft nights and a pre-PTQ coming up in my future before that happens. And not only that, but the system rolls over in May, right? The end of May is the end of the season. And if you, again, like, so I'm going to hit 1,400 for this season, which means that I'll have a 1st-round buy for the last Grand Prix of the season, which is Vegas. But then all of next season, I will also have a 1st-round buy at my Grand Prix.
And you can choose which one to use it at, or is it
all
of them?
It's all of them. It's just all of them.
God.
It's
I'm not going to any more Grand Prix with you, because I'm going to be sitting there registering, and you're just going
to
be like...
Well, I still have to sit there at deck registration.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think you can do sleep in special for just a 1st-round buy. I think
okay.
I can too.
Okay.
And either way, I'm cheap, so I would never pay for a sleeping special. Like, fuck it, I will show up at 8 and I will register a deck and I'll go buy a goddamn coffee. I will save myself that money.
That 25 sweet, sweet dollars. I mean, I guess it's smart of Wizards to do that. Because
I mean, it's totally smart, and they're totally people who legitimately, it's like, some of them, it's like, do you know what?
Yes.
The sleeping in is worth more to them than the dollars, and I totally respect that.
Yeah, man. Anyway, I'm a bit further back on my Planeswalker points journey.
Well, as you said, it really matters the events that you're going to, because in this past season, just because it happened that they were like, I had family in one and the other one was super cheap to go to, I went to 2 Grand Prix this past season, which is like made up the bulk of my getting to having enough planeswalker points.
Yeah, so and I think that's gonna be really valuable, especially in Vegas, which is gonna be
cool.
The biggest Magic tournament
ever
of all time,
ever.
You guys.
It's
oh my god,
huge.
I'm like just imagining what it's gonna be like in that convention center.
I might collapse.
It's gonna be insanity.
I might pass out.
Have I ever been in an enclosed space with that many people in my life?
No, and probably for the better, so
oh
who knows?
Boy.
Wild ride.
Anyway, if you guys are planning to be in Vegas, we would love to meet up with you. We're going to post on Twitter. By the way, follow us on Twitter at MTAcast if you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime to come and say hi for to us, as well as like Aaron from the Deck Tees / the Girlfriend Bracket is going to be there as well.
Yeah.
And some other podcasters too.
And come hell or high water, we will be wearing Where's Waldo shirts.
Megan
so
wants us to wear
Where's
Waldo. Where's
Waldo.
Oh, God in heaven.
Maria, I'm going to repack your suitcase immediately before you leave.
With all
Where's
red
Waldo?
And white sweaters.
Yes.
Good luck at finding those.
What? Red and white sweaters? Maria, this is what Google was made for.
If you happen to find us at Vegas wearing
Siri,
our...
Google red and white sweater.
If you happen to find us wearing our red and white sweaters... We will reward you with a prize. We alluded to it / talked about it in the last episode with Doc. We're going to have wristbands there for Magic the Amateuring, which just came in, and they look hella awesome.
They're super cool. Maria, all I have to do is go to a JCPenney, a Nordstrom Rack.
Let me see.
A Kohl's, a Target.
You're going to go to Kohl's?
Probably not. I think I'd actually have to own a car to accomplish that. Look at all these red and white sweaters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boom. Boy, that is one ugly sweater.
You're going to be wearing it.
Oh, Jesus.
All right.
Anyway, find us at Vegas, y'all, and you'll
for
get
sure.
A sweet prize. A sweet, sweet prize. The Meadery will also have a booth at Vegas.
Oh, yeah, so come check it out.
Yeah, and that's where we're hosted our show. So go say hi to those guys, Ian and Thomas,
we'll
who are
there.
Really great guys.
They'll be chilling.
They'll be chilling like villains.
Oh, shit.
So I hope you understand a little bit more about Pro Points and the Planeswalker Points system now.
That's right. You can check how many Planeswalker Points you have by the easiest way to find the page is to just Google MTG Planeswalker Points.
Yep.
And then use the pages and you enter your DCI number and it'll bring up the number of points that you have yearly. And then it might also have seasonal because... Planeswalker points used to be seasonal, so instead of having a 1,400 point threshold, I think it was about 400 for a season, which was only 4 months, I want to say. There, it was three or 4 months. I think three because there were four of them in a year, or four because there were three in a year. Anyways,
right.
So you might see that, and that's still a holdover from when they only recently transitioned into doing yearly, but you will want to look at the yearly total.
You might also come across a problem where your account needs to be migrated because
exactly.
You joined early on in DCI and now DCI registration is a little different.
Or you might need log in for the first time ever or change your password. And all we have to tell you on that journey is good fucking luck.
I know, that's what's happening to me. They're like, you need to migrate your account, so I log back in. Oh, the page is still fucked up. Anyway.
Who knows?
Good luck, you guys. It's dangerous out there. Take this. Magic the Amateuring History Minute. So somebody recently tweeted a question at us, which was, which of you is which in your photo? And I assume they mean, or drawing of us,
yeah.
Our Twitter picture, which
exactly.
You can see.
Our official logo.
Our official logo, also available on Facebook, because Magic the Amateuring is on Facebook now, everybody. Facebook.com/MTAcast.
Mm-hmm.
Who is who in that picture? You know, that's a really funny question.
It is. It's a damn good question.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I often wonder, like, because people have told me that they have thought that the reverse was who.
That's true.
Which is really funny.
It's really weird.
It's so
it's
weird.
Like super, it's super
like,
bizarre.
Oh, I thought you were that one. Oh, that
uh-huh.
One voice in my one ear, and you were the other voice. Yeah, whatever.
What?
But no, we are two different people.
We are.
Despite sharing a kidney, we are two different people.
I have it every other weekend
mm-hmm.
and Tuesday through, like, midday Thursday.
And holidays. I don't have it on holidays.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Well, you know, I'm much more of a holiday person than you are, so.
Do you know somebody told me they're like, you are the most person into Christmas I've ever met? And I was like, what? But then I thought about it, and I kind of think it's true. Like, I get a real tree. I put up 100,000 decorations.
Yeah.
With 100,000 ornaments.
That's pretty Christmas.
Anyway.
Very Christmas.
Yeah, so who do you guys think out there? I want you to shout your guess at whatever you're listening to this through, your computer, your iPod / phone / anything, your radio in your car. Who is who? All right, now we're going to tell you the answer. I'm the one in the photo that is stage left.
Which is the right when you're looking at it, you jerk. Maria is, which is actually, it's really funny because in the photo, I'm wearing an island shirt.
Yeah.
I'm the one wearing the island. And I feel like we've pretty much established on the show that I'm the blue player.
Right. And I'm wearing a swamp shirt.
Or black. If you have to choose a single color, black player.
Black, yep.
And yeah, so there you go.
There, that's who's
I'm, who. I'm the redhead missing a bottom row of teeth.
And I am the one with purple hair. Yeah, it's really weird.
It looks, I mean, not to diss the picture. It's a great, we're really happy for it.
It is awesome. It's amazing.
It's amazing. But I do, like, every time I look at it, I'm like,
I never even noticed that.
Are you serious?
No.
Maybe it's just because it's me and I'm self-conscious about it.
I think it's adorbs. I'm just like, Megan, anyways, you don't need both rows of teeth to be pretty.
That's true. I really don't. Thanks. So now we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk a little bit about Grand Prix Toronto, because we're seeing a lot of Megamorph decks here.
Megamorphs!
Yeah, which is pretty sweet. And surprisingly, very little Esper Dragons in the top eight, which, you know, Esper Dragons won Grand Prix Sao Paulo, which was the same weekend.
This is the deck to beat.
Exactly. It's been the accepted, like, best deck in the format. But I feel like that's kind of, it put a big old target on its head.
Sure did.
And people came being like, do you know what? I have it
We're
out
coming
for
you, Esper Dragons.
Exactly. Just like the Americans with the British back in the 1700s.
Just like me with my dull knife.
Who are you coming after?
Esper Dragons.
Oh, okay. You had a really creepy look on your face when you said it, so I just wanted to kind of confirm. There were, in fact, no copies of Esper Dragons or any form of control in the top eight.
Really? No control
Can
whatsoever?
Can you dig it?
I mean, Silumgar also had a major target on him.
That's right.
Notoriously amazing card.
And notoriously a jerk.
Yeah, yeah, he wears people as jewelry.
Exactly. If you read Uncharted Realms at all, then you will know that Sidisi Undead Vizier has it out for him.
Well, we'll see what happens.
She's coming after that mofo.
Yeah. And I mean, like, Silumgar is so good that people were, like, specifically adding cards to destroy Silumgar.
Yeah.
Get him
Lots
out.
Of and even Ojutai. Like, a lot of Foul-Tongue Invocations coming in to people's decks if they were playing black, making them sack their dudes.
Yep.
Which gets around Hexproof pretty nicely.
Gains you 4 life, NBD.
Yeah, if you've got a dragon. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, no Esper Dragons. That's interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. But we did see a lot of green and green white centric decks.
So we're talking Deathmist Raptor.
That's right. And Den Protector. And those are actually two of the big cards that people have brought out to fight these control decks, because they can get so much value.
Value town.
Den Protector, when it's flipped up, it's a Megamorph guy. And when it's flipped up, you get to return a card from your graveyard to your hand. And then, obviously, Deathmist Raptor.
Yep.
When you turn another card face up, you can return it from your graveyard to the battlefield, either face up or face down. So it is just value town all over the place.
I mean,
with this deck.
That's amazing.
And a lot of resilience.
Right.
Right? You can just, like, a lot of the time they're going to start drawing cards, these control decks, and they're going to just, you know, they're going to leave you in the dirt eventually once they stabilize. But with these decks, you can be like, hey, you may be drawing but I've got some real value out on the table
here. So, like, what matches up great against, for instance, an Ojutai or a Silumgar? A 4/4 Death Touch, you know, Deathmist Raptor sure does pretty good.
Yeah, that is also very true.
So these decks, creature-centric. Mm-hmm. They play Dromoka's Command as well.
Some of them certainly do.
Popular card.
Very, very nice as well.
I was happy to see at this GP that there was an iteration of the Heroic deck, which if you've been listening to the show, you know in the past I played the Blue-White Heroic deck in Standard, which I quite enjoyed because it reminded me a lot of Boggles, which I loved playing in Modern. I like really loved that deck, and it's very similar. But they've added green to the mix, so it's now Bant Heroic, and they've added green specifically for, and only, Dromoka's Command.
Yeah,
it's so a good card. Good card.
Very sweet card. So the name for these Deathmiss Raptor Den Protector decks we were talking about are Megamorph, variations on Megamorph. So, for instance, there was a Bant Megamorph, as we mentioned, which, featured a little bit more. It had some blue for some Ojitai's.
Yeah.
And for even like a Stratus Dancer.
Ojitai, by the way, the most expensive card in the current set.
Jesus Christ.
It's like $27.
Yeah, man. Then there was a green-white collected company deck, which also featured a lot of our Megamorph friends. But which also had a lot of cheap creatures, a lot of very cheap ones. And so you could use collected company. 4-mana instant, which lets you look at, I believe, 6 and put 2 CMC 3 or less onto the battlefield.
Yes.
Pretty sweet. And then there was an Abzan Megamorph deck.
Oh my gosh.
So just all up.
Green is an ins element right now.
Yeah, man. It really is. It's having a heyday.
I'm seeing more green than I saw when I lived in Green Bay.
How much green do you see in Green Bay?
It is everywhere, Megan.
Oh, okay.
Green Bay should just basically be a Packers haven. I mean, that's what it should exist for and nothing else. That's how much Packers are in
Green
Bay. It should
be abandoned the rest of the time.
Yes. And then
it's
when
like
football
a ghost
happening,
town.
Go back.
And then when football's there, it's
it
once
is a
again
ghost
inhabited.
Town. Like when they're playing, I could be driving on the roads in Green Bay and I would not see another car. It was like a zombie
what?
Fucking apocalypse.
That is creepy as can be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even exaggerating. Anybody who's ever lived there can back me up on that. It's so true. It's like tumbleweed. Everybody's watching the game.
Was that like a lonely crow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes. Megan, did any of these decks, like, if you were playing Standard right now, what would catch your fancy? What would you want to play?
You know, I'm kind of liking the Bant version of these decks, the ones with Ojitai's.
Yeah.
Just because that card...
I mean, that card's stinking good.
I mean, it's so expensive for a GD reason, and it's because it's real good. My wallet probably likes the Collected Company version, for instance, which is a little bit more affordable.
I looked into Bant Heroic, which also added Monastery Mentor.
Oh, yeah.
And I had most of the cards for it, which are all, like, very, very cheap, you know, like, you know, 0.03 cents or something like that.
Yeah.
But with the rest of them, the expensive ones... Tom Ross's build came out to like something like $130.
Jeez.
Because it wanted 4 mana confluence.
Oh, yeah.
Which will really set you back, but you know, $18. So.
Yeah. Mana confluence, man.
The thing that's about Standard is that it's a moving target, right? So every weekend
really
that there's a GP or a large event like an SCG Open, you've got to, you know, scan the metagame and be like, what is everybody else going to bring? What am I going to play that's going to be good against the top decks in the format? And that means like a lot of trading, a lot of testing. Oh, exhausting, which is why I prefer limited. But, you know, for people that are into it, I mean, they love it. And I just
God bless them.
I just got fucking tired like, thinking about it. Well, this card's really good, so I added in this one, and then I took out this one, and I was just like, oh boy, just pass me a pack, and I want to pick one out of it.
Don't we all?
Dear Abby.
Ooh, we have a Dear Abby.
Yes, we do. We haven't had a Dear Abby in the show in a long time, but we have one now. If you want to write us a question, magic-related, please do, magicktheamateuring@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You can also go to magicktheamateuring.com. We have a contact us link right on our website.
Yeah, you can send it via that. Or if you like to squish your words, count your characters, you can send us a tweet.
Yeah, we'll also take that. Dear Abby, I am brand new to playing Magic the Gathering. Congratulations, BT Dubs.
Yeah, man.
Minus the little bit I've played on Xbox One and Xbox 360 against the computer.
Which is Duels of the Planeswalkers. Great way to learn.
I bought some cards and would love to start playing and occasionally go to F&M's. Mm. The problem is, none of my friends play, which is quite sad for me. What advice can you give for someone that doesn't want to go to an F&M with no experience, but doesn't have anyone to practice with? Sincerely, friendless, so I'm mono blue.
Solid end.
Great ending.
Solid ending. Well, I have to say, first of all, while Magic Online is obviously a flawed program, it is a great way to practice, whether you are time constricted and you simply can't make it to a lot of in-store events, because of scheduling and stuff, or if you're just kind of getting into the game and you don't want to, you want to learn a little bit before you head out, venture out on your own.
It should be noted that this is a money commitment, which the game of Magic is generally.
Always.
You should know.
A money commitment.
If you didn't know straight already. Straight up
money commitment.
So it's going to cost you $10 for Magic Online initially. Yeah. And then whatever deck you want to build, it's going to cost you money there as well.
Yeah. But kind of true of,
you know,
everything.
That's true if you want to play in real life too. So.
Yep.
There you go.
But besides that, I would say, you know, like, when we started out, we were really lucky, Maria and I, to know each other and be able to go with each other. But really, when you start going, you start meeting people.
That's right.
Find an LGS that suits you. And I feel like, again, like, we also got really lucky with that. We play over at Mead Hall Games in Minneapolis. And they just, like, the people there are very much just, like, people that we get along with well.
Yeah, it's a great store.
And if you go to an LGS, if you're in, like, a large metro, maybe you have a couple of options. I know some towns only have, like, one, which, you know, in that case, you know, make it work. I'm sure there's great people there. But, like, maybe you go to one and you're like, oh, I'm not really feeling this. Like, I don't know. Like, try another one. It might just be that, you know, there's another store where people who groove like you groove are grooving together.
You know, and you shouldn't be scared. This is my advice, to go to an F&M with not a lot of experience, because... Mm-hmm. Megan and I have played against people a number of times who have said, this is my first draft, this is my second draft, etc.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. I love, you know, playing with those people, not only because I'm going to beat the pants off of them.
Oh, okay, sure.
No, the reason, real reason is because I'm happy that they're learning the game and that they've come out.
Absolutely.
You know, it's totally fine, and I'm happy to support them and, you know, show them rules, interactions that maybe they don't know about.
Yeah.
Talk to them about their deck if they want advice.
Absolutely.
I think seeing new players at F&Ms or at draft nights whenever at a store is wonderful, and I encourage you to go out and do it, even if you don't feel like you have a lot of experience, because there will be a lot of people there who will be happy to see you and happy to teach you as well.
Yes.
So.
And, you know, if you're a person at an LGS who is playing against newer players, remember, always be kind.
Mm-hmm.
And always make sure that you're helping to inspire a love and understanding of the game.
That's right. Be a good Magic steward, as we say.
Yes.
A good Magic Patrick Stewart.
Everyone needs to be a good Patrick Stewart when they can.
I mean, if there is something to live up to.
It is Patrick
Stewart. That guy's life is amazing.
It really is.
I mean, he's just got it all.
He really does.
And you know why?
Including a best friendship with Sir Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
Which I would put as the number one thing that would make my life perfect, is if I was best friends with Ian McKellen like that.
And wearing their little bowler hats about town.
Exactly.
I mean, so this works on both ends. So if you're a new player, don't be afraid. Go out there. Even feeling inexperienced, the people at the store will be happy to help you, no doubt. And if you're a player at an LGS, be welcoming to those new players as well.
Absolutely. That and being married to a woman 30 years younger than I am.
What?
Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yeah. That's true. He gets high a lot, too.
I believe that.
Yep. I've seen tweets. As well as, you know what? Don't be afraid to teach your friends. That's the only way we're going to grow the game, you guys.
It's true.
Don't be afraid.
It is very, very true.
I have personally taught a few people, and you know what? It makes you a better player.
Yeah, it really does. It helps you think about things that maybe you haven't spent time thinking about yet, or you haven't thought about in a long time.
Yeah.
It helps you notice new things through the eyes of a new player. And especially, if you're a girl out there who's listening, and you're nervous about going, get out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it. We believe in you.
I believe in you so hard that I'm having an aneurysm.
Well, Maria, I do done think we gonna reach the end of our show.
We sure done.
We sure done did another podcast, didn't we?
We sure done did it.
Oh, now look at we done did that.
You know what I've been thinking about?
What?
How the lovely folks out there in listener town can reach out and almost touch us on the internet webs.
Oh, that's right. If they wanted to reach out and almost touch us in a cyber way, then they could tweet at us at MTAcast. Send us an email at magicTheAmaturin@gmail.com. Check out our website, magicTheAmaturin.com. Find us on themeetery.org.
O-R-G.
Listen to us on iTunes.
iTunes.
Stitcher.
Stitcher.
MTGcast.
MTGcast.
Other stuff.
Other stuff.
That's right.
And remember, like we talked about up at that dare top of the show,
mm-hmm.
We've got a Patreon.
You can gone done did help us. Keep doing this done here did thing that we do did done love.
We don't got no tote bags, but we do got stickers and hoodies.
That's right.
Well, for all of us, me, Miss Virginia Glam.
And me, Mr. Boots.
Sayonara from the glorious south.
We're going to go ahead and ride off into that there sunset.
Clippity-cloppity, 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 clippity-cloppity-clip. Oh, nice horse sounds, Mr. Boots.